smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
We're all familiar with illiteracy, but what about aliteracy? It's the state of having basic reading skills, but disliking or even refusing to read. Aliteracy is pervasive, and attempts are being made in elementary schools to help children develop a comfort with and even a love for reading by allowing them to read to, you guessed it, dogs. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to the Good Dog Podcast, where today's topic is a local Share a Book program coordinated by the Marin Humane Society's SHARE Department. SHARE is an acronym for Special Human-Animal Relationships. Darlene Blackman, who runs the program, works closely with local teachers, reading specialists, and librarians. Darlene, welcome to Good Dog.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you have an amazing job, huh?
Yes, I do. I have a wonderful job.
So tell me how this got started. And I know that it is not something that only happens in Marin County, because I've heard about it happening in a neighboring county as well.
Yes, there are a variety of programs. The first one actually started many years ago in Utah. There's a group called Intermountain Therapy Animals, and I think they should be credited with beginning these types of programs. They have a program called READ. And I had known about their program for some time, and we had had animal-assisted therapy programs here in Marin for many years in the hospitals and with seniors. And I really wanted to do something around working with children and reading, because their program just seemed so amazing. So I got in touch with some reading specialists at schools and librarians and looked to see where the need was. And then we started by training some volunteers and their dogs.
How does it actually work?
Well, the volunteers who have dogs that are interested in reading, the volunteers have to be interested in reading too, but the dogs take a class with me. I teach a 5-week class called Share a Book with Your Dog, and the class is aimed at helping the volunteer with working with children and literacy, and then also teaching the dog some specific skills so they can be a real integral part of the reading.
Now let's jump back a few moments.
Okay.
For a while now, people have gone into classrooms, volunteers have gone into classrooms to listen to kids read. Mm-hmm. Is the problem that humans tend to judge, or that kids feel like they might be judged and are therefore more self-conscious about their reading aloud?
Yes, exactly. What we found in a lot of the reading I've done and in working with the reading specialists in some of the schools is that one of the biggest problems for the kids is reading aloud with their peers. Because we all know that in a classroom you've got different levels of readers. So some of the kids that are very skilled are going to do really well, and other kids that aren't, they're going to feel that pressure because other kids are doing much better than they are. Or they're going to read a certain way because that's the way they think the teacher wants them to read. So the round-robin reading that a lot of us probably grew up with in the schools, where everyone sits in a circle and takes a turn reading, really there's many times they find a lot of the kids are having no comprehension of the story at all. They're just sitting worrying about when they're going to read. And I've also learned from a psychologist who referred a student to us that reading aloud is so different than your actual reading skills. A lot of us are probably great readers, but if we had to stand up and read in front of other people, we might not read as well because we're a little nervous about doing that.
Well, it's a particular skill that's applicable in certain areas, but
right.
it, like you say, it doesn't translate to how well you read, or certainly not what your comprehension is, because I know, I am a person who loved reading in front of the classroom. That's, I've obviously built a whole career around this sort of thing in public speaking. But when I'm doing it, I'm very much thinking about how, where my intonation is, how I'm delivering the line, and I'm missing the content.
Right, right. So the person that we have a couple of students that come to the Humane Society after school to read individually with a volunteer and their dog. And they've been referred by teachers and another by a psychologist because they had so much anxiety about reading aloud in school that it turned them off to reading, which was really unfortunate because they're both extremely bright students. And so we had them, one of them was here for all of all last year's school year, and by the end of the year, she just had turned around with books. And we hope that having her come here was a part of that, that helped her be more confident in her reading. Because the dog doesn't care if she makes a mistake or skips a word or can't pronounce something properly. The dog just lays there and listens and just loves the attention.
Now, why does the dog listen as opposed to just turn away and get bored?
Well, that's the biggest problem in this class is the dog's falling asleep. Because they're so comfortable. They're lying there. You know, the child's got his head on him maybe, or he's patting him while he's reading, and a lot of the dogs doze off. So that's the number one problem that we have. So what we do in class is we teach the dogs a command to look at the book. A lot of the volunteers will name it book, some will call it look, and what it means is that the dog is supposed to turn his head and look at the book. And we teach that in class. I have groups of children who come to class, and we practice, so that the dogs have that skill, and that skill is, you know, right there with them, just like they're sit or they're down, so they're ready to look at a book when asked to. And many times the children in our reading lab will come and go. We have a child will read for a little bit, another child will come. So we have an opportunity to get the dog up, move them around, have them sit and lie back down. So we keep them awake and animated and a part of the reading process.
And why is, I mean, it's obvious to me because I love dogs so much, but generally speaking, why does this work better than just reading to a stuffed animal?
Well, because it's more exciting to have a real dog come. You know, a stuffed animal is, I mean, something that's, you know, not responding to the child. The dog is there looking at the child. The child can pat the dog. The dog, I mean, many times the dog is quite entertaining, you know, looking at the book and looking at the child and so it makes it a much more interactive for the student.
What about the kids who are afraid of dogs? When you bring a dog into a classroom, how do you handle that?
Well, we have had that situation where we teach one of the reading labs. We have a lot of English language learners. So a lot of these kids are from different cultures, and they haven't had the opportunity of having a dog as part of their family. Dogs might be, they might look at dogs and be fearful of them. So what we've done in the beginning of those classes is we have the volunteers sit quite a distance from the child, and they sit on a chair, and they read to the dog from a distance. And every single one of those children for the last 3 years that we've done it, by the end of the year, are laying down with the dog. If we had a child that was extremely fearful, that may have had a bad experience, not a child that's just not used to that type of a relationship with the dog, then we might work on that a little bit differently. And in the past, I have done some work with children around that issue here at the Humane Society. So we talk to the teachers very carefully. The children all have to get a permission slip from their parents before we come in to make sure the parents are totally aware of the program, totally on board with it. So we're sure that everyone's ready for it.
And so what happens if there are kids who, for instance, are allergic to dogs or whose parents, for whatever reason, don't want them exposed? Are they literally just taken out of the classroom for that period of time?
Well, they can be. It depends. We did have one child that had allergies. She didn't pat the dog. She would wash her hands afterwards, and she was fine. We tried it. You know, we wanted to be sure. We do send, I send these, I don't know if you've ever seen them, but Nature's Miracle has these dander wipes that you can wipe a dog down, and it's supposed to help remove some of the dander. So we offered to do that, and there was no problem with it. So we're ready to work with whoever and try it if it's going to work.
Now, is this the sort of thing where any school in this county, for instance, because you're a county organization, can call the Marin Humane Society and request to have a dog brought to their classroom?
Yes, they can. I have volunteers that I'm training all the time. Right now I have 20 volunteers that are specifically trained to do the reading. Some dogs will come to class and really aren't ready for it, so we have them do other things because it is pretty sedentary. They have to lay there for a while with the kids coming and going. But I do have volunteers who are trained. The school year is getting ready to end, so what I'm doing now is I'm planning several programs in our libraries. And the library programs are a little bit different because they're a little bit more of a fun activity. We don't target children who necessarily need help with their reading. Anyone who's there who wants to come over and read with a dog is welcome to. And it's just kind of another fun twist on reading for kids.
Are you looking for the same temperament in these dogs as you would for any sort of therapy dog?
Yes. Temperament's the most important thing. They need to be very outgoing, friendly, forgiving, in that if like a child pet them funny or maybe, you know, squeeze them a little too tight, that they're going to be okay with that. they also need to have some really good basic obedience. You can't just have a dog that loves people, because they need to greet people politely. They need to walk into a facility totally under control with the volunteer, focused. So the dogs, before they take this class, have to have had one, or I prefer actually two, different classes ahead of time, so they have some really good basic obedience, and they've got a really good strong bond with their volunteer.
Are we basically talking about labs and golden retrievers here?
No, I have an incredible variety of dogs. I mean, golden retrievers are great dogs. Most, you know, they have the great personality. Labs are great, but, you know, labs sometimes take a while to grow up. So they're sometimes better off doing it when they're a bit older, because the laying there for a long period of time can be kind of hard on them. And the volunteers in class, we talk about that, learning the right level of activity to give your dog before you go into a program. You might have to go out and run your dog, but not to the point where he's going to sleep, but to the point where he's got some excess energy out. You know, the dogs I have in the program, I do have some Goldens. I have a Papillon mix. I have a Boston Terrier. I have a Westie. I have a Shepherd mix. Let's see what else. I have a Poodle. I have two Bernese Mountain Dogs.
They are so great.
I have an Anatolian Shepherd. She is gorgeous and huge, and the kids just love her. So, you know, I have a real variety. Oh, I have a Pug that's great. He's got a great personality. He might, you know, he makes a little bit of noise when they're reading, but the kids love it. I have a Cavalier King Charles.
So is part of the deal to just associate fun and love and a positive experience with reading?
Yeah, and have them be more relaxed. The volunteers are very hands-off, depending. The reading specialist might ask them to look for a specific thing that that child is doing, maybe skipping words or mispronouncing a certain letter all the time. But most of the time, we're asking the volunteers to really step way back, to sit there with their dog, but just to let the kid go and read. And the reading specialist, the very first time we did it in this program that we went to in San Rafael, she had some kids that would come in and just drag themselves through these books. They have very small books. They're more like a pamphlet-looking thing than a book, because they want the kids to have the success of finishing a book. So this child would just drag himself through a book every time he came. The first week the dog was there, he read three of them and just kept jumping up saying, "Can I read another one? Can I read another one?" So he was motivated to do it because he thought it was fun, and he really loved spending the time with the dog. And the dog didn't, like I said, our dogs don't care if we make mistakes or we're not doing it right.
And what's in it for the dog?
Oh, the dogs just get a lot of great attention, and the volunteers really have the opportunity to share their dogs with people. The volunteers and the dogs I work with is such a huge plus for this program, because they're people that are so dedicated to their dogs. They've trained their dogs. They're prepared to get their dogs ready to go out by brushing them and making sure they're all clean and ready to go. And the dogs, you watch the dogs, they're really enjoying it. They just love the attention from the kids and from their owners. And, you know, I always tell volunteers, and I'm constantly telling volunteers, be sure you're praising your dog while you're doing this. Yes, they're just laying there having a kid read to them, but they need to know that what they're doing is what you want them to be doing, and that's what our dogs are always looking for. They always want to please us. So,
well, and it's meaningful work. You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking there are so many different opportunities now for people to volunteer with their dogs. I mean, you alone run this SHARE program, and one way for people to become involved is through this literacy program, but also you say you bring dogs to different other kinds of facilities, hospitals, senior centers, things like that. Are we shifting away from thinking that the hobby or the thing we can do with our dogs is show them toward, you know, a time when we can actually work with our dogs to the benefit of others, to actually, you know, bring some solace or help or peace to others who are, for whatever reason, in need?
Well, I hope so, and I have seen it in the SHARE program, because I've worked here for 16 years, and when we first started the SHARE program, we had a handful of volunteers doing programs at hospitals, senior facilities, schools, and now I have over 100 volunteers, and places are inviting us to bring dogs for a variety of different reasons, you know, programs at libraries, programs at senior communities, just a whole different variety of things. So I've seen that shift, and I also think it's really important that when programs are going out and being a part of the community, that the dogs and the volunteers are well prepared, and that they're, you know, they look professional in their work, and that will bring a lot more credit to them and to this type of work.
This podcast is listened to by people all over the United States and elsewhere around the world as well. Would you be willing to have people contact you if they're interested in setting up a similar program in their community?
Absolutely. I can tell them about how we're doing it. I can give them resources of other places that are doing it. Probably the best place to reach me is through email, and our website has some information about Share a Book, too. I can give you our website. It's www.marinhumanesociety.org. And my direct email is dblackman@marinhumanesociety.org. And I'm more than happy to share all the information that I have, because I think the more people that are out there with their dogs in all different capacities, whether it's with a book program or whatever it's with, I think it's just great.
Darlene, thanks so much for your information today, and we will also post your email address on our site and in our show notes so that people can contact you if they want to set up a similar program.
Okay, thank you, Joanne. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about the program.